If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the loving grace of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. Our seminar topic is the power of blessing to neutralize negativity and shift outcome of situations. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and visualize the Atmic light, the divine light of your whole spirit, your divine I Am presence, entering the top of your head, coordinating, integrating, and infusing the brain, the nervous system, the chakra system, flowing down through all of the energy lines of current, the currents that flow through the nadis, which would be the etheric counterpart of your nervous system, and those that flow through the nervous system, the meridians and the various lines of pranic force that enable the divine being that you are to move and express in the human form. And some of you may be feeling chills as that integration occurs. Just be aware. Take another deep breath. And bring more consciously forward that divine presence. Infuse and integrate every cell and molecule of your being. Bring it all the way down to your feet. Feel your feet. But realize you don't begin and end with this body or your head and your feet. But within the quantum field, there is no place that you are not. In highest truth, you are omnipresent being. Let's consider that for a moment. You are omnipresent. Omnipresent. Now. So what makes you think you're just this body? Well, it's the one giving the most vivid sensory, let's say, feedback. And you tend to identify at that point of sensation. And yet you're all aware that there's times when you're in a state in which you do not feel the physical body at all. And that would be when you are in your omnipresent self. And it takes some training to become aware of that so that it's part of your natural sense of being. And that's what meditation and spiritual exercises are designed to bring you an awareness of. So just appreciate for a moment or two, or as long as you like, that tremendous divine power that for most lies fairly dormant, but can be quickened and activated as soon as you wish. For you alone, confine yourself to smallness, where none exists. And you alone are the one that will decide when you expand into your universal sense of selfhood. And so the whole power resides within you to manifest any state you wish. Do you realize you have the greatest power on earth? Many of you pray and ask for assistance from beings who are not on this planet. Some of you ask for assistance from archangels and angels, extraterrestrials and such. But you know that they do not have authority to act directly upon Earth. Only the Earth dweller does. You have been given authority over all the kingdoms of nature and all the creatures that swim and walk and fly. You've been given authority over every circumstance and environment and situation in which you find yourself on Earth. You are not a victim. You are not weak. You've just been distracted into buying into the consensus viewpoint, let's say, of who and what you are and what this world is all about. This world is about discovering your self-mastery, your divinity. It's here only as an arena to bring you into full godhood. And that's the purpose of everything you experience in your life. Everything. Now, you must have noticed that polarization prevails here on Earth. In fact, the laws of polarity, duality, and karma govern every facet of our lives upon Earth. Not only upon Earth, but throughout all of the realms, regions, and universes beneath the fifth kingdom. The fifth kingdom is the soul realm, the realm of our pure divine essence. And the soul realm is neutral. You, as soul, are neutral. Soul awareness is simply the state of seeing, knowing, and being. It's the sense of complete oneness with all life and all things. But it's a witnessing awareness. It's not a getting involved in participatory awareness, unless you're a divine avatar. A divine avatar is the manifestation of godhood through a person who volunteers to come to Earth from a higher planet, realm, state of consciousness to embody either the full God force in the case of Krishna, Rama, Satya Sai Baba, Shirdi Sai Baba. These are full avatars, Babaji, or a partial aspect or quality of the divine. Only when the avatar manifests on Earth do we have the divine directly operating on Earth. But you see, it has to come in as an avatar on Earth to have authority to operate here. So remember that when you look to something or someone off-planet to fix the problems that we are responsible for on-planet, we are the ones that have created these psychic and material realms of entrapment, these bardos, these many states of consciousness that we get trapped in. And then we don't know how to get out of our own creation. Hence, the avatar has to come in age after age. And there can be many, many, many avatars at the same time on the planet. And thank God, at this time, there are. But the point I'm making here is that we create effects with everything we do here, every thought, word, and deed. Even every breath you take creates an effect that then has ramifications that you then, at some point, become accountable for addressing and bringing into balance. So, the realm of the soul is where we develop that neutral state of being the witnessing observer of life without polarization. And that's the only place that you can say that you are free. Ah, but maintaining that freedom is another thing. And as you know, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. So you have to walk carefully and not go unconscious, which we all periodically do. So I would suggest as a spiritual practice to periodically throughout the day, particularly when you're watching an engaging program on television or you're caught up in your sports game or the evening news, to have enough presence to remind yourself that all of that is just working out of the place of consciousness and that you are divine. See if you can remember that you are the divine witness and retract your power that you invest in all of your media. Retract it back into the owning of yourself. These little simple things that we do periodically amount to spiritual practice 24/7. We get so we are aware at night when we're working on the inner planes. We wake up in the dream, so to speak, the night dream and the day dream. And, as I've said before, taking a practice that you can carry into these different states of waking, dreaming, deep sleep, is very important. The Course in Miracles, of course, is one that I often suggest, because it gives you something to work on every day throughout the day that brings forward your remembrance of who you are and what you are and what your purpose is here. We need that sort of track to be able to keep congruent with our purpose of full awakening. So it can be rightly said that it is polarization and the play between opposing energies and its karmic effects that keep the third and fourth dimensions intact. This whole samsara, maya, bunch of nonsense, really, is simply the juxtapositioning of places that we lock ourselves in consciousness. And boy, we have our work cut out for us, because it's so easy to go along with the common crowd and develop polarizing stances on issues, particularly politics and religion. But it's also become polarizing in other areas too. But if you want to watch somebody's ego activate into full manifestation, just start talking politics and religion. You'll see it lift its gnarly head immediately and begin to fight. And money also is another one that'll get you going. Now, in terms of human life, it is the battle between positive and negative, good and evil, the divine self and the egoic self, between resistance and attraction, the pros and the cons. And that's exactly what binds ones to these lower dimensions. That's it. It's those positions that hold the opposite thing that we're resisting in place. Every time you resist evil, you are actually fortifying it, giving it fuel, and making sure it will continue. That's why Jesus said, resist not evil. What you resist, you keep in place. That applies to everything in your life. The more you resist it, the more it's going to be present in your life, so you can add fuel to it. The false energy that we call collectively the ego or the shadow self loves that. That's its food. So keep resisting, keep polarizing, keep being against whatever, and watch how it just keeps, you know, year after year, decade after decade, historical period after historical period, the same news recycled without any change. To be a change maker, you have to rise above polarization into soul awareness. Because there, those lower energies have no fuel in you, and consequently, in the collective. So very few understand how our likes and dislikes, our resistance and attraction, our attachments and hatreds imprison us here on Earth and assure we get to come back again and again and again, to engage in the battle. So to be free, we have some options. To be free, we need to become the neutral observer, that is, to operate from the level above the egoic mind in the pure state of awareness or intuition or the impersonal self, you can call it all of those things, or we need to be in a state of divine loving acceptance where we're surrendered to the divine spirit, and in that case, the divine spirit wraps us in grace and lifts us out of situations that we don't need to go through. So as for karma, the reason everyone is here is due to karma. Every thought, word, deed, breath, movement causes an effect for which we're held personally accountable. And everyone sets a whole chain of effects into motion, which then, of course, affects others, which then collectively form a national karma, a regional karma, a city karma, a province karma. You know, we're drawn to incarnate where we have karma. That religion, that place, that nation, that political party, that point of view that we seem to hover around for maybe a whole lifetime, that's all due to karma that you set in motion at another time and place. So Jesus, our elder brother, served as a prototype for all of us to see what it looks like to be a completely soul-conscious, aware, God-conscious human being. How to live in proper relationship to each other and to our Creator. And he gave us some very powerful keys to freeing ourselves in some very simple teachings. For example, he said to bless those who persecute and malign and seek to harm us. He taught us to pray for our enemies. He taught us to resist not evil. So, we're to bless and pray for those who torment us? Well, you have to understand here that when you bless a person or a situation, you have completely disempowered them to truly harm you. You have defanged the demon or the tiger, whatever you want to put there. When you bless, you neutralize the power of your enemy to get to you. So that's why he said to pray for our enemies. and to resist not evil. Now, be aware that everything that happens is meant to happen, but the one choice we have here is the attitude with which we greet whatever happens to us and in our lives. We can resist and curse and damn and blame and hate, and then we get the full brunt of the visitation of evil in our lives, whatever that looks like. Or we can completely surrender the situation to God. We can pray for the highest good and the best and most divine outcome. And we can relax in the love of God, knowing we are never given anything we can't handle, that every test we are brought to, we are divinely equipped to walk with God through. So no one is given or confronted with a situation karmically that they're not up to handling and resolving, because they have, in fact, invited it so they could work with it in this lifetime. So you can greatly affect the outcome of a situation by blessing it, putting it in the light, asking for the most divine, highest outcome possible. Because then the light itself of the divine spirit will search out alternatives that were not available to you before you asked. That's why it's very important to go as your first resort, God. Whatever's happening, you go first to God, first to prayer, first to asking for the highest good and light on that situation. So the things that come to you are marked for you, or they wouldn't be in your life. The enemies that come to you, you were their enemy in another life. The things that happen to you, you were the one that caused those things to happen to others at another time and place. The karmic law is very just. It's literally an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And that's why Jesus, the Christ, came in to shift that whole paradigm. People don't realize what he actually accomplished as he walked through that whole process that we all go through of mastering himself, coming into perfect alignment with his divine creator and his divine atmic self, and lived a life that was in perfect demonstration of the loving mercy and caring and compassion that is the very nature of each one of us. When the ego has been identified and dissolved. So what Jesus did was shift us from the law of karma by fulfilling it completely and shifting us into grace. That's the whole meaning of salvation, which literally means to return to original wholeness. It's more than just saying a prayer, but it can start with saying a prayer. And it's important to start someplace in your return to wholeness. Salvation. Salve, to heal. Salvation, to return to wholeness. So we're all here seeking salvation. And salvation is entering into your own good grace, your own graciousness, your own compassion. Because when you are in that state, you extend it. You cannot extend what you're not embodying, what you've not awakened to. So Jesus took us out of the curse of the law. It's spoken of in the Bible as the curse of the law, and brought us into the blessed state of grace. Example of grace. I was up at a Sai Baba family retreat some years ago, and I had to run down the mountain for something. I don't remember what, but I went to get in my car, and I bent over too quickly as I opened the door, and I slashed the area above my left eye rather deeply. It started gushing blood. And so I reached in my purse and got a handful of Sai Baba's sacred ash, and I put it on my eyebrow, which immediately stopped the bleeding. And I was one of the people leading the devotional songs at that retreat called bhajans. So I had to get back straight away. So I decided not to go down the mountain, not to carry out my task. And I sat down to, consider why I manifested that. And Sai Baba inwardly told me that my karma was to have an accident as I went down the mountain. But instead, that crash and accident was reduced to a little gash over my eye. So that blood was shed, there was some pain, but I didn't end up in a serious crash. That is an example of how you're shifted from the law of karma into grace by the grace of God. So we earn the grace of God by living lives as godly and as righteous and as truthful as we possibly can. We walk as godly and God-conscious as we possibly can, loving and praying for and blessing everyone and everything that appears in our lives. And then we're covered by grace. It doesn't have to be hard. So, we're to bless and pray for those who torment us. We're to pray for our enemies. How? Well, one of my favorite prayers is to ask that the terrorists, for example, be given a touch of God's love in a way they will be able to recognize it as that and receive it. Because only the love of God can soften a hardened heart and illumine a darkened mind. Only God's love. And so we pray that they encounter love. Because these are desperately unhappy people whose minds have been distorted by inflammatory rhetoric and misunderstood scriptures. So we need to have great compassion on these brothers and sisters who are so desperately unhappy that they seek to make others suffer and be unhappy. So even in that context, Jesus, for example, also spoke very harshly, very directly, to the hypocritical temple priests, who were actually very egocentric, demonically possessed, you might say, individuals who had only one thing in their mind, and that was to destroy Jesus. Never once was it shown that they had any sympathy or any willingness to listen to what he had to say. They just wanted him out of the picture, because they wanted power and money. So in that case, he upturned the temples, the tables of the temple merchants, the money changers, and drove them out, presumably quite forcefully. So So what are we, you know, to learn from this? Well, number one, don't be blind and stupid to what's obviously going on. That's not right. Our number one responsibility, by the way, is to safeguard our own life. Why? Because our physical body is God's temple. We embody God's presence and God's love and God's power upon earth. And hypocrisy, cheating, greed, money grafting, whatever, defiles our human temple. We can't defile the holy things of God, and we are the holy things of God. So such evil tendencies must be mercilessly driven out of our lives by the Word of God. In that example of the temple cleansing, he was representing the incarnate Word of God. And yet you and I are also the incarnate Word of God. Every one of us are the Word of God made manifest. Right out of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Read it. So also the living Word of God is the divine sound and light currents of energy that give everything and every one of us life and expression as these temples of supreme love. So every dishonest, deceitful, hypocritical, negative tendency, any of the so-called sins which separate us from our own sense of goodness and godliness, defiles our human temple. Now, the teaching to bless those who persecute, malign, and seek to harm us is when you bless those who wish you harm and pray for them, you've just disarmed and disempowered them completely. You see, evil requires resistance and counterattack in order to gain the upper hand of a situation. Evil depends on your resistance in order to attack you. When you resist, you engage in that as if it were a reality, and so it becomes real for you. Catch how that is. Evil depends on your resistance in order to attack you. In the Course of Miracles, there's a lesson that says, if I defend myself, I am attacked. That's what that means. You open yourself up when you resist or counter fight. In other words, you jump into the fray, and it's game on. So it takes, evil takes its strength from polarization, and thus it does all it possibly can to set you up for combat. It'll set you up. How? Well, one rather famous person right now in our news gets all upset over a Twitter tweet, for heaven's sake. All the power goes into fighting, really, an invisible point of view or points of view. That's how you set yourself up. That's how you disempower yourself. You allow yourself to get set up, agitated, angry, resentful, and the fight's on. Now, if you instead bless the would-be evildoers or antagonists or whatever you want to call them and pray for them, you have shifted into higher soul awareness where their curses and hatred have no effect. You've rendered their curses ineffectual. They can't harm you, so they simply boomerang back to the sender. and that if you really want revenge, is the best revenge. Return to sender. So you engage in an energy in order to have it affect you. You disengage or ignore or let it pass through you to neutralize it or to not have it affect you. So when people get your goat, it's because they've snagged some karmic tendency in your nature that pushes your button. They have triggered some of your karma. So in a sense, they're doing you a favor. They're showing where you're weak. They're showing where you have chinks in your armor. They're showing you where evil can get to you and mess with you. So, in order to receive any energy, you have to open yourself in some manner to receive it, or it simply stays with the sender. I think you'll recognize the practicality of what we're sharing here. Now, when you pray for your enemies and those who would despitefully use you, you've taken the higher position of power over the situation, like Jesus demonstrated during his crucifixion. He said, "Bless them, Father, for they know not what they do." He said that in his compassion, in his advanced and exalted yogic state, which he was in at that moment. He removed the karmic effect due to his tormentors. Think about that. He's on this cross in agony, and what does he do? He extends compassion and grace and mitigates the karmic effect that would have fallen to his tormentors. He recognized they were asleep in ignorance, and he had come to extend grace. So Jesus was so certain of his divine authority over the entire scenario that his attitude of highest spiritual awareness neutralized the karma for everyone. Jesus demonstrated the power of love to overcome every form of evil, hatred, and death itself. And thus, he demonstrated his victory by resurrecting into immortal life. So Jesus was the first fruit, as it's called, of the Father, or the first fruit of the redemption. And also the eldest brother of the collective Christ that we all are as soul. And he became that because he was the first one to enact historically, but also symbolically as a symbol, each of the stages that we pass through. From our rise from purely a human stance to transfigured, resurrected immortality. He transfigured every cell of his body into living light. There was nothing left in him but God. That's why he's referred to as our elder brother and the first fruit of the Father. But we follow in his footsteps because every single initiate walks through that same path and doesn't actually have to go through the same historic events, thank God, but walks through that same series of initiations that carried him to his mastership and ultimately his ascension, because now he's an ascended being, which means he has immortalized in physical body. It's a light body now, transfigured into light. So if we only could realize the power we have in blessing a situation, we'd never resort to doing anything less. For example, my sister-in-law, she was a practitioner in the Unity Church, a minister in the Unity Church. She was on the transit system. I think it was in New York City. And changed the entire outcome of a situation that could have cost her life if she had acted differently. So she was riding the transit system home one night when a man in an overcoat accosted her with a knife, saying, "If you move, I'll kill you." And she very calmly said to him, "The Christ in me loves and blesses the Christ in you." Whereupon the man dropped his knife and fled. How differently that would have ended had she not stayed in higher consciousness. Recently, another young woman on the news was abducted by a man intent upon raping and killing her. Instead, she began to talk to him and to pray for him and showed loving and compassion for his state. And it ended up with him coming to his senses and releasing her. He chose God, basically, and she chose loving compassion. Different outcome. There are countless examples of where the outcome of a situation was completely shifted from negative to positive outcome by blessing and praying rather than polarizing and resistance. Another example is humor. Humor can often shift an outcome, as can suddenly asking an unrelated and unexpected question. You shift the state of your enemy in kind of like an Aikido move. And that happened actually when three initiates of our group, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, were taken by two would-be thugs with an eye to rob them. But our three group, which tend to be rather zany to begin with, intercepted their intention with unexpected levity and banter and caused the potential polarization to become just five guys in a car laughing, and the mood shifted. And our three guys were released unharmed. So a positive attitude and refusal to hate saved the lives of so many who were in Nazi concentration camps. We've heard that. We've read their stories. And, you know, while we may never be in such extreme situations, we can all use the same approach when we're faced with similar polarizing temptations. And they are temptations. You could call that really the temptation of the devil to engage in hatred and conflict and warring and warfare. When we were designed simply to communicate and host divine love. There were several, gosh, many times in my life when I found myself in situations where what could have become a very ugly contesting of wills and a battle as to who was right became pleasantly and positively resolved when I, along with the others involved, chose another way to engage with each other. With loving, compassion, understanding, dialogue. And so the end result was we were all left feeling really good about ourselves and about the situation. And we formed friendship and enjoyed mutual happiness. It feels so good feels so good when you do that. You see, the spiritual consciousness is one of neutrality. The spiritual approach is one of acceptance, knowing that all things come into our lives for a higher purpose and reason. And that higher purpose and reason is always about learning unconditional love at all times and places, regardless of the situation, the circumstance, the environment, regardless of everything. It's always about love. To transcend the laws of polarity, duality, and karmic bondage, we cannot do so by adopting sides in an issue. We only perpetrate the issue. We can only rise to a level above the polarities, and that's soul awareness. In soul awareness, there's no resistance, and thus no energy to fuel the combat. Acceptance has often been referred to as the first law of spirit. The second law of spirit is cooperation with what's going on. What does that look like? Well, it looks like coming aside alongside your enemy, which is what the Holy Spirit always does with us. It's the one that comes along aside with us, but for the purpose of coming into one accord. You find a way to come into harmonic resonance with the goodness that's always inherent in any situation and any person. No one is fully evil, nor is anyone fully good. The only good is God. And we're a mixed batch. But we can come along one another with understanding and find a way to resonate with that person's soul. Everyone has a part of God in them, no matter how darkened the behavior may be. God dwells in every person. And so, the third quality of spirit is understanding. If we did more dialoguing and more understanding of our enemies and trying to meet them where they're crying, where they're suffering, where they have pain, where they have a need, we probably could end the wars on this planet. So these three qualities of acceptance, cooperation, and understanding enable transcendence through grace to occur. Love activates grace in our life, as do blessing and prayer. Grace neutralizes karma and alters the outcome of any situation. A soft word turns away wrath, is another teaching from the Bible. You know, it takes two people to fight. If one of them goes into silence or just softly says, "I know you suffer, my beloved." Thich Nhat Hanh gave us that beautiful teaching. "I know you suffer, my beloved. I am here for you." Or when you're upset, "Beloved, I'm suffering. Please help me." Can you fight with a partner that responded like that? I don't think so. So people filled with divine spirit reveal this in their behavior because they express love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. And for such behavior, there's no binding karmic law. You live free. So when we pray for our enemies, we pray the same blessings we'd wish for ourselves. I like the Buddhist prayer where they say something along these lines. May you be happy. May you have peace. May you have health. May you have abundance. May your needs all be supplied. May all be well with you and your loved ones. That's a wonderful prayer that we can say to others, for ourselves, our children. Sai Baba has us say, this prayer. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy. Because happy people never harm others, nor do they engage in criminal acts. You have to be profoundly unhappy to want to harm, kill, and destroy another person. So all the mayhem in the world, all the wars and conflict is caused by unhappy people. So praying for the happiness and well-being of everyone is a very practical and powerful way to address the issues in your life and the things you see on the news. In Sanskrit, it is Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. Let's say it together. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. Again. Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy. And for our part, let's do all we can each day to maintain our own happiness. That's our responsibility. Your spouse, your children, your life, your job, your boss, none of that is designed to make you happy. You have to take responsibility for making yourself happy. And then do all you possibly can to make those around you happier. You know, encourage, acknowledge, appreciate, comfort, uplift everyone in some way every day. You know, that's how to have a joyful life. Really, that is the secret. Now, there's some other powerful ways that we can use the power of blessing. Blessing neutralizes potentially harmful effects and outcomes, but also substances in our environment. For example, food and water. Bless everything you eat. Learn the food prayer in Sanskrit that Sai Baba offers, or make your own prayer, but offer everything you eat and drink to God, blessing it and asking God's blessing on it, and that whatever is not healthful be transmuted out of it. I've started to blessing the water that I drink in bottles each day. And when I do that, I bless it with all the blessings that have ever been given by Mother Mary, Lord Jesus, Sai Baba, all the great souls that have ever blessed the waters throughout the world, including myself and those of you that have done this. And I also speak the purification of all sites of drinking water, of people throughout the planet, that all that water be made potable and harmless in effect so people can drink safely all of their water, and that all the bottled water be made absolutely pure, and all the sites of drinking water. And then I extend that to the oceans, for all the oceans to be purified and made healthful for all of the marine life, the whales and the dolphins and the manatees, the coral reefs, all of that. Very important. And as you bless your food, bless all the people who produce these crops and harvest and grow and bring it into the grocery stores. And bless the whole food chain. Remove all the effects of pesticides. You have the power to do that. Bless all of the elementals, the devas, the elements of earth, wind, fire, water, and ether. Bless them. Chant your mantra, your sacred tones, the hue, the anahue, into the chemtrails. And speak the neutralization of all the harmful effects in those chemtrails. Everything is a vibration. So we have the power and the authority as embodiments of the living word to shift that vibration. By our prayers, by our mantras, by our spoken intention. And we have the power over our spiritual vibration through love, through prayer and blessing. Likewise, bless your body. Thank each part of your body for being healthy and functioning perfectly according to the divine plan and pattern. Bless your brain, your mind, the perfect functioning of all your organs. Thank each organ for being healthy and fulfilling its divinely appointed duty. Bless everyone who calls you on the phone. Bless each encounter that you have throughout the day. Do it silently in your mind. As a person comes toward you, greet them as an embodiment of the Lord in your mind. Bless your children. You know, they say that Jewish children excel in every field of life because they have a blessing given over their head by their father. They bless their children regularly. So do the many of the parents in India. They bless their children. When was the last time you laid hands on your child and blessed it and acknowledged it for the beautiful and bright soul that it is? Bless your spouse, your partner, yourself. Bless, bless, bless everyone and everything. And you'll be living a life of supernatural power and grace. There is nothing, another lesson from the Course in Miracles, there is nothing my holiness cannot do. Say it with me. There is nothing my holiness cannot do. Again, there is nothing my holiness cannot do. One more time. There is nothing my holiness cannot do. Own it. Believe it. Embody it. Be it. And you will be a miracle worker and a miracle transformer. So, 2017, it looks like we're going to have a very interesting year ahead. A year where truth is revealed, many karmic situations come up, maybe a lot of disruption. So I suggest that we collectively as light workers take charge and command over the outcome and start praying and blessing and pointing out the goodness. And if anything be noteworthy, let us speak about that. Let us speak positive outcome. Let us focus on what we want as an outcome. Let us unite in love and not form polarization. Let us live in active soul awareness and embody that Christ, that living Word of God, that we truly are. That is the answer to all the problems on the planet and everything problematic in our lives. We're simply here to be the presence of God's love and grace in these dimensions. So I hope this has been helpful. I'm raising my hands and I'm blessing each one of you. May you be happy, peaceful, healthy. May all your needs be provided. And more than anything else, may you awaken to the power, purity, beauty, and divinity of your true self. And I receive your blessings in return. Your holiness blesses me. Your holiness blesses this earth, and my holiness blesses each one of you. Let's go out with one Anahi Hu. Deep breath. Anahi Hu. Blessings and grace. Namaste.